All right. So last week we talked about making changes in our lives so we could get in position so that we could receive the blessings that God has for us, or get in position so we can catch the passes, you know, when God. When I got home last week, I started thinking about it, and I do hope everybody found that area in your life that you need to make some changes in, and I hope you do, and I hope you do take them to God and, you know, get active in those areas and make those changes. And, you know, I know God showed me some things I need to be working on in my own life, not just working on, but surrendering them to Him and allowing Him to work on them. Like I said, God won't, He won't force you to change anything, but if we surrender it to Him, then He will help us change them. And then I got to thinking about what if I don't change these things? What if the Holy Spirit brings something to my attention that I need to change and makes me aware of it, and I choose not to change? You know, what if I just say no when He puts that thing in my head that I know I need to work on, and I just refuse to do it? And that brought this verse to my mind in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. This is Paul. He's talking to Timothy. The time for him to be put to death is almost there, and he's having a discussion about that with Timothy. And he says, "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight, and I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of His return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to His appearing." And that's what got my attention, was the part there in verse 8 where He says, eagerly awaiting His return. You know, and that got me thinking, what if I didn't fight the good fight like I was just talking about? What if the Holy Spirit revealed something to me and then I just didn't do anything about it? You know, what if I didn't run the good race like Paul says he ran? You know, would I be eagerly looking for His return like it says in verse 8? And I think a lot of us are faced with that question. A lot of times when we think about the return of Christ, I don't know how many people are actually eagerly awaiting it, because I think a lot of us are like, I hope He don't come today because I haven't done that yet, you know. I know about 3 weeks ago, Josh asked at the end of the service, you know, what were some of our biggest fears? And some people said, you know, they were fearful of their past coming back to life again and, you know, turning back into their old selves. Some said they're worried about their kids, you know, going in the wrong direction. But the most hands that I saw raised when he asked that question, the biggest fear was death. And I honestly don't think it's death. You know, in verse 8 there, Paul is excited. He's saying that he fought the good fight. I've ran the good race. You know, God's going to give me a crown of righteousness. He's excited about going to be with Jesus. And I don't think we fear death near as much as we stand or fear standing before Jesus in the state that we're currently in, you know. Or I think got everything right, and you know, we didn't cut the mustard. We're not going to make it into heaven. And I think that's a real fear, and I think that's a real problem in our faith that we need to work on. I know after we have a group on Thursdays, we meet, we've been going through the book of Acts, and at the end of our class Thursday, we had a discussion about, you know, when we get to heaven, we won't be witnessing to anybody there. We have to do that now. Now is all we have. All the people that we know that are lost, if Jesus comes back today, you know, there won't be any more time to witness to them. And all the things that the Holy Spirit is showing us, that we need to change, the things that we need to do. If Jesus does come back today, there's no more time to do those things. Now is the only time we have to witness. And now is the only time we have to be obedient when the Holy Spirit does bring those things to our mind. You know, when Jesus comes back, it's put your pencils down, the test is over, and hand in your paper. And so we're supposed to be looking for the return of Jesus Christ, eagerly awaiting his return. So that got me to thinking, you know, are we doing everything we can to be ready to stand before him when he does come back? When he gets here, or if we die before he returns, you know, there is no going back and changing something. When the Holy Spirit reveals something to us, we need to, you know, we need to get on that right now. We don't need to be putting it off and holding off on it and saying, I'll do these things later. Because when he does show up, you know, it, like I said, it's pencils down, the test is over. There's a verse about that in the book of Revelation in chapter 22, verses 11 and 12, actually two verses. It says, let the one who is doing harm continue to do harm, and let the one who is vile continue to be vile. Let the one who is righteous continue to live righteously, and let the one who is holy continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. So when Jesus does come back, whatever state you're in is how you will stand before him. It's too late then to make the changes. It's too late then, you know, if you have a broken relationship, it's too late then to ask for forgiveness, to repair that relationship. It's too late to say I'm sorry. It'd be too late to tell somebody about Jesus. If the Holy Spirit's been laying somebody on your heart to share Jesus with, you know, that's something we need to get on. That might be their eternity in your hands and you don't even know it. So once he comes, then there's no more time left for those things. That's why it's so important to take care of them quickly. You know, I tell you all the time, for the last few weeks anyway, to not let things pile up, even the little things, the small things. We need to stay confessed up on those things, and we need to be intentional in making the changes that the Holy Spirit tells us that we need to be making. We can't keep putting those things off. And I don't know very many people that live like Christ is even going to return. It's like they don't take it seriously. It's like it's just something they've always heard, and that's just something that you hear at church, you know. And they act like, as long as I can go to church and convince the people at church that I'm living a godly life, then I'll be okay. You know, I used to do that. But when I surrendered to Christ, the Holy Spirit showed me I didn't have to convince the people at church that I was living a godly life. And I didn't have to convince the people in my life or the people I work with that I'm living a godly life. I have to convince him I'm living a godly life, Jesus Christ himself. I've got to have proof that I belong to Christ, because I will stand before him one day and at the judgment seat of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul says, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will, each will receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. And I want to make it plain that he's not talking to lost people there. He's talking to believers. He wrote this letter to a church. He's telling people, you know, Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins. We are forgiven of our sins, but that don't mean we can't continue in sin. So we still have to give an account after we've been saved for the things that we do. You don't lose your salvation, but that will definitely rob you of blessings while we're here. You know, we talked about getting in position to receive blessings. And if we continue to be disobedient to the Holy Spirit, we don't lose our salvation, but we miss out on all the blessings that God has for us. And we do have to give an account of what we do, or for what we don't do. You know, like we said, if the Holy Spirit tells you something and you don't do it, then we'll answer for not doing it. Paul also says, and I know you've heard me say this in the last few weeks, in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." So we do reap what we sow, good or bad. But like I said a minute ago, if the Holy Spirit's telling us to do something and we don't do it, it says in James chapter 4 and verse 17, James says, "Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it." So if the Holy Spirit is telling us to do something and we don't do it, it is sin, and we will answer for that. Now, like I said a minute ago, he's not talking about salvation here. You know, if you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. You know, that's not what I'm saying at all. Paul, like I said, he is writing to believers when he says we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And, you know, if you make it to the judgment seat of Christ, your salvation is secure. If you're not saved, you don't go to the judgment seat of Christ. You go to the great white throne judgment. Like I said, I don't like you to just hear it from me. I like to give you verses on things to back them up. So Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, Paul gives us, or John gives us the account of that. It says, "I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. And I wish that you were one," or no, that's the wrong one, Casey. I need chapter 20, verses 11 through 15. There it is. And he said, "I saw a great white throne and the one sitting on it. The earth and the sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were open, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire." So like we read there in verse 11, if you're saved, your name is written in the book of life, and you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. You won't have to go to the great white throne judgment. Does anybody know why they call it the great white throne judgment? Because it says in verse 11, there was a great white throne. So that's why they call it the great white throne judgment. That was just a joke. Yeah. So no, you can't lose your salvation, but if you're going to you do have to go before the judgment seat of Christ, but if your name is written in the book of life, like we just read, you won't have to go to the great white throne judgment. But like it said back in Galatians chapter 6 in verse 8, you know, if we live to satisfy our own lust and desires, we will reap corruption and death in our lives while we're here. You know, we'll miss out on the blessings that we talked about last week. You know, we won't be in position to receive the blessings that God wants us to have here. And God wants us to have an abundant life. You know, that's why Jesus Christ said he came. He didn't just come to forgive our sins and redeem us. He wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to have a good life. And it's up to us to make those good decisions and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, all the negative consequences that we have from the bad choices we make, those are not judgment from God. Those are things we bring on ourselves. And I know that for a fact. You know, I know by far the worst part of my life was the period between when I did get saved and when I actually surrendered my life to Christ. You know, like we talked about a while ago, I was going to church, I was calling myself a Christian, but I didn't change anything about my life. I just wanted to look godly. I just wanted everybody to think, oh, Wade's doing good, you know. But Wade was not doing good. My spirit tormented me every day. I was under conviction 24 hours a day. There was no relief in there. You know, I was drinking worse than I ever had. I was destroying every relationship I had. You know, at work, people that used to trust me, you know, to do their work and stuff, they noticed how bad I was getting, and, you know, they didn't trust me anymore. My relationship at home was horrible. My health went downhill really fast. You know, it was like, it was pretty much like hell on earth. And like that verse says, I was reaping what I had sown. I was reaping corruption and death, like it said in verse 8. And I knew why, you know. Because the Holy Spirit was revealing to me every day, you don't need to be doing that. You don't need to be doing that. You need to change these things. And I was just reluctant to change them. So I was bringing that upon myself. It wasn't God punishing me. I was punishing myself. And there's a verse in Revelation chapter 3. Or actually two verses. I want to share those with you. This is where I was. It says, I know all the things that you do, you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You know, I was making God sick. I was grieving the Holy Spirit because he was telling me the right things to do. I was just choosing not to do them. I was a hypocrite. I was just going to church trying to convince people I was a godly person. You know, I was still a goat trying to hide in the middle of a flock of sheep. Like it said back in verse 15 there, you know, I was neither hot nor cold. God said he wishes you were one or the other. He would rather you be a complete heathen sinner and not put his name on it than to call yourself a Christian and live like a completely lost sinner, because that brings shame on the church. That brings the name of God down. You know, if you're not putting God on your name, he's like, I would rather you just didn't get saved at all if you're going to drag me through the mud with you. You know, and that's exactly what I was doing. And God will bring that to your attention. Like I said, I was a goat trying to fit in with the sheep, and that does not work. You know, we might be able to fool some of the people that we go to church with, or some of the people we work with or hang out with, but we can't fool Jesus. And I think sometimes we forget, I know I forgot, that he created us. You know, we can't hide anything from him. And I talked myself into believing that. It's amazing how much stuff we can convince ourselves of if we actually try to. We get to the point where we start believing those things ourselves, and we actually think we can outsmart God or hide something from God. I said a minute ago I was still a goat trying to mix in with the sheep. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 25, he's talking about just that. You know, in verse 31, he says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, to the sheep, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. And if you'll skip on down to verse 41, he says, then the king will turn to those on the left, to the goats, and he will say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. So, you know, we can't be a goat and try to hide among the sheep. That does not work. You know, a lot of people think they may be, you may be fooling everybody you go to church with, but it plainly says here in Matthew, you know, you're not fooling Jesus. He knows the difference. And when that day comes, he'll tell you to get to his left. And you will go to the great white throne judgment. And you'll be in eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. You know, God didn't prepare hell for us. He prepared it for the devil and his demons. But, you know, if we're living for the devil instead of living for God, then we've made our choice. He gives us all free will to go to heaven with him, but we have to make the changes to do that. So we're not fooling Jesus. We're only fooling ourselves. So if we are fearful of standing before God, like I said last week, the changes you need to make will pop into your mind. You know what you need to change, but you have to make the decision to make them. And I keep talking about standing before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand before God one day. But the reason I was so convicted, because God showed me personally that, you know, I wasn't going to stand before him someday. He showed me since I had got saved, I was standing before him today. Today, you know, I'm standing before God because I have the Holy Spirit within me. You know, when you do surrender control of your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit moves in. You know, he's inside of you. And he never leaves us. The Bible says he never forsakes us. We're already standing before God. We're standing with God. And all the bad things that I was doing, you know, God, he made me realize that I wasn't just doing all those bad things. I was doing those with God because he's inside me. And that's what was grieving the Holy Spirit so bad. And because he was in me and I was still doing those bad things, so I was doing those things with Jesus. And that's why I said, you know, like I said, my soul was tormented every day because I was grieving the Spirit. David talks about how we can never get away from the presence of God in Psalm 139. And he's talking about how you can never get away from it. In verse 7, he says, I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. So David was really happy about that. He loved the presence of God. And he was happy that there was nowhere he could go to get away from God. At that point in my life, I was not happy about that. You know, I was trying to get away from God. I was trying to get as far away from God as fast as I could, because I was ashamed of what I was doing. And, you know, I was fearful to be in his presence because I knew what he was telling me to change, and I just was not changing it. So I was trying to hide from God. But like he says here in those verses, you can't hide from God. No matter where you go, God's already there. You know, I'd try to hide under every rock I could find, but every rock I got to, God was already under there. You know, there was no running away from him. You know, I'd run from state to state. He's in all the states too. But like I said, I was running from him because I was scared of God, because I knew I wasn't living right. And at that time, I didn't understand grace. You know, all I'd heard about the Bible was the law part. I hadn't heard about grace. All I knew was judgment. All I knew was the thou shalt not, thou shalt not, and the judgment that came with those things. Nobody ever explained grace to me. And I thought God was mad at me because I knew I wasn't right with him. You know, And if that's where you're at today with your walk with God, and you think God is mad at you and you think he's against you, I've got good news for you. God's not mad at you at all. There's nothing he don't know. Matter of fact, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. You know, Jesus came because we're sinners. He didn't come to try to catch us in sin. He knew we were all sinners. Romans says we've all fallen short of the grace of God. He came because we're sinners. He came to save us. He's not mad at us. He came to rescue us. You know, and we can't make ourselves right with God. That's why I was so scared, because I couldn't do it. And I knew I couldn't do it, but I didn't understand grace. And in Romans 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. So all those things I couldn't do, all the changes that I couldn't make, when we surrender to Christ, he comes into us. It's the life-giving Spirit that frees us from the power of sin. You know, when you cry out to Jesus and surrender to him, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he himself, Jesus, makes you right with God. And then your name is written in the book of life, like we talked about a while ago. And you don't have to fear judgment anymore. The only judgment you get is the consequences you bring on yourself from the choices you make here and now. You know, like we talked about last week, the choices we make in our finances, in our health, in our relationships, you know, our peace of mind, all those things can be overcome if we just commit them to God and be obedient to whatever the Holy Spirit tells us to do with them. So if you're not looking forward to the return of Christ, if you're not eagerly awaiting his return, if you're fearful of it the way I was, you know, you have to do like I did. You have to ask yourself why. You know, I asked you last week, what was that one thing that you need to change? And it may be more than one thing. It was quite a few things for myself. But if we are fearful of the coming of Christ, we have to do a self-evaluation and ask ourselves, why am I fearful of the second coming of Jesus? You know, we don't have to be scared of death, because, like I said a minute ago, Jesus is not coming to punish us. He's coming to get us so we can be with him. And he's even overcame death for us. That was one of Satan's biggest tools. And it says that is the last one that is defeated was death. But it says in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who had lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. So if you've lived your whole life the fear of dying, you know, Jesus took care of that. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for us. We don't have to fear that anymore. The only thing we have to do to overcome the fear of death is keep our relationship with Jesus where it needs to be. And the only thing we have to do to do that is be obedient to the Holy Spirit. When he says you need to change this, then we need to change that. And that's the only hold that Satan has over us, is the fear that either you can't trust God, God's not real, you know, death is what awaits you. Death is not what awaits you. Eternal life is what awaits you. We read that back in Galatians 6 too. You know, if we do bad things here, we'll have bad consequences. But, you know, if we do the good things, if we do what the Holy Spirit is telling us to change, then we reap life everlasting. It says if we sow into that, if we sow what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do, then we'll reap everlasting life, because Jesus has already defeated the devil. He's already defeated death and all those things. We don't have to be fearful of Jesus. And like we talked about last week, if you really are living a godly life, you know, he'll fill you with that peace and that calm about eternal life. You know, you won't have that fear of death. You'll have hope for the future. You know, you won't see an end in sight and be fearful of the end, because there is no end. You know, if you belong to Christ, there is no end. We pass from here to eternal life. There is no end. And, you know, if you're fearful of his coming because, like I was, you feel like you're going to be ashamed to stand before him, all you have to do is, like it says in 1 John 1:9, I think we talked about this last week too. It says, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us and our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. You know, God is faithful. He won't judge you. He laid all judgment on Jesus Christ. And no matter what it is, he will forgive you. And the Bible says the only sin that will not be forgiven is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And that is not receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior and surrendering your life to him. It don't matter what you've done. God will forgive you. And he'll do what we can't do. He'll cleanse us from our unrighteousness. You know, God, like I said just a few minutes ago, God created us. He knows everything about us. And he loves us anyway. In Psalms 103, I want to share these verses with you. David says, he does not punish us for all our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. For he knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. So God, he knows exactly who you are. He knows how frail we are. He knows how weak we are when we're being tempted. And, you know, the worst thing we can do is if we make a mistake is to just give up and say, well, God's not going to forgive me for that. I've done it too many times. It says right there in Psalm 103, God knows all about us. He created us. He knows we're just dust without him. And so he don't judge you for those things. We're going to make mistakes. That's why it said we're only human. God knows what we are, and he don't hold that over us. He just wants us to choose him. He'll forgive us for our mistakes. I mean, that don't give us a license to go sin, but when we do mess up, when we do make mistakes, God is faithful to forgive us. He don't hold those things against us. He loves us. He wants to spend eternity with us. That's why he came while we were sinners, to give his life for us. God is on our side. And for years, I lived life in just fear of God, because I never felt like I could be good enough to deserve being with God. And that's just it. None of us can be. Isaiah says our righteousness is as filthy rags. We have no hope without Jesus Christ. He is our hope. But once we surrender to him, it really is as simple as being obedient. And when we slip up, it's as simple as confessing it. And God will forgive you. And he'll cleanse you. You know, he loves us. He knows who we are. And he don't want to judge us. He wants to forgive us and save us. But he leaves that choice up to us. And I hope all of y'all are looking forward to his coming. I mean, I'm looking forward to it now that I have surrendered my life to him and I understand it a little better. That I know I don't have to meet the mark. All I have to do is accept Jesus. And he is my mark. So I hope all of y'all are looking forward to his coming and eagerly looking forward to it. And if you're not, I hope you will think about why you're not looking forward to it, or why you're fearful of it. I mean, everybody knows himself better than anybody else. I can't tell you why, you know, you're not looking forward to it or why you're fearful of it. I knew my reasons. You know, the Holy Spirit showed me the things that I needed to change. And I didn't get them all changed overnight, and it's still a work in progress. But I've learned the more that I bring to him, he never says, well, that's too big for me. I can't help you with that. No matter what I bring to him, he helps me take care of it. He'll show you how to deal with those things. And you'll get to the place where you're not fearful of his coming. You look forward to it. Like Paul said back in 2 Timothy, you know, he's eagerly awaiting the return of Christ. So this week, I hope you'll spend some time and think about if you are fearful or not looking forward to it. You know, why are you fearful? Why are you not looking forward to it? And I just pray that you would spend some time with God, talking with him, and, you know, just share with him the reasons and the things that the Holy Spirit will bring to your mind, because he will bring them to your mind. And ask God to help you, and he will. I know that for a fact. He helped me with all the things that I was dealing with. And today I'm free of those things. Things I never thought I could be free of. Things that I had to forgive, that I never thought I would be able to do that. But he showed you how to do that too. But I hope you will, you know, meditate on those things and see what it is that you need to work on. And I pray that you'll take them to God this week and just share them with him. And the Holy Spirit will give you answers. And I hope you do that so that we can all have confidence, you know, that we've done everything that he's told us to do. We've been obedient so that we can truly be eager to see him when he does come back and not live in fear of God, but live in a blessed hope of being with God one day, being with our loved ones that are already with him. And there's just a huge peace that you get when you know that you've been obedient. And I think that's where a lot of my fear came from, was because, like I said, he would tell me the things that I needed to get cleaned up, and I knew I needed to get those things cleaned up, and I just kept putting them off and putting them off and putting them off. So I knew I was living in disobedience. So that's where all my shame and my fear came from. But once I confessed those things, God is faithful. He does forgive you, and he'll help you through those things. So that's what I would ask you to do this week. Just think about what is between you and God, and take it to him. Talk to him about it, and he will help you with it. You know, he's not going to judge you. He's not going to be mad at you. He understands you, like it says in Psalm 103 there. If you need to look those up later, verses 10 through 14. He knows. He made us. He knows we're just dirt. You know, we need his help. But we need to realize we're just dirt, and we need his help. So that's pretty much all I've got this week. If anybody is fearful, that is the way to take care of it. Just take it to God, be honest with him, and he'll get that fear out of you. He'll replace it with trust in him. You know, we sing that song a lot of times. He's a good, good father. He really is a good, good father. And we don't have to be afraid of him. He's on our side. He loves us. He wants to help us do the things that we can't do. But thank y'all for coming out. That's all I've got for this week. And I'll go ahead and pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for being with me tonight and helping me to share this message. I know that was a huge area in my life, Lord, when I'd came to you and I'd got saved. Lord, you forgave me of my sins. But Lord, I spent years just in fear of I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to make it. I'm never going to get to heaven because I can't do this. And Lord, I just pray for every person. That's in that place right now. I pray that you would open their eyes, Lord, and draw them to you and help them to see that you're not here to judge us, Lord. You're here to help us and guide us and lead us into that relationship that we're longing for. So I just pray that you'd speak to every heart, Lord, that needs that today. I pray that they would receive this And I just pray through the help of your Holy Spirit, Lord, that they would find freedom and find the joy of having that relationship with you, and the joy in the obedience, the joy that comes from being obedient to you, Lord, and knowing that they are in a right standing with you, and have that joy of looking forward to being with you one day, Lord, and to truly be eager